stretch out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 166 of the Inside Running Podcast, first show of 2021, recording this 4th of Jan. Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to my co-host down in Anglesey, the 2019 Australian representative at the World Championships in the marathon over in Doha, Julian Spence. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, mate.
Was thinking tonight, maybe you got to do something. I don't know how long we can keep calling you that for. What do you reckon the shelf life of that intro is?
You can call me that forever because it happened. It's a fact.
It did, but how many years until it's like irrelevant?
Oh yeah, go and ask anyone from the 80s if it's irrelevant that they ran in the World Champs.
True. I'm not saying it's going to be irrelevant. But just...
You poked the bear, or should I say, you poked the moose.
Poked him early. Yeah, maybe picked the wrong word. Irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Gee, what it so. If you went to the Olympics back in the 60s, is that now irrelevant, or do we forget about that now?
Nah, I've got a lot of respect for it, you know that, but I just need something that happens like more regularly so I can just throw it in there.
When you go back to his Great Ocean Road records.
Do you think they have to like trump it? Like it has to be something better to make the intro from now on? It's going to be hard.
I don't know whether that's going to be hard, actually. You might have to delve into non-running life.
Maybe.
Some of my best work is done elsewhere.
Well, maybe if you told us a story about your nickname of Moose, maybe that could get a go in your intro.
Yeah, maybe. When will we hear that, Moose?
That doesn't better it. Sorry.
It's probably one of those stories that's actually not that good, but because you haven't told anyone it, it's just like it's better because it's unknown now.
Yeah, we'll run with that.
Welcome to the show, up in Canberra, Bradley Croker. How you going?
Good, Brady. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, mate. To the listeners.
How you going up there? Start of the new year well?
Okay. I'm actually a little bit down with the whole COVID thing. I was really excited for a bit of a trip down the coast with you and Carly and Hudson, but obviously with COVID, you're not allowed to come up anymore. So that was a little bit of a downer during the week.
It was sad. Carly had started packing last week. She just told me don't go in that front room anymore. That's where we're keeping all the stuff, getting it ready for the trip. Now it's still sitting there, but it's not going anywhere, which is a bit sad. Looking forward to getting down the beach, seeing yourself and Viv and the kids.
Yeah, so it's a shame. And, it's just sort of this never-ending cycle now of COVID. Like, I'm not even sure what will happen with the New South Wales season. Like, I'd sort of maybe plan to go up and run as part of the New South Wales 5K, which I think is early Feb, but who knows what's going to happen with the cases up there.
ACT... like hardly affected though throughout COVID, really. Been pretty well, like pretty good there, like other than being able to go other places.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like we don't have a lot of restrictions here. They still have some restrictions around like funerals and I guess big gatherings. But you know, like we can have park run and like we're meant to have a park run on New Year's Day. But because they needed us, so parkrun obviously have an exemption from the ACT government to run parkruns on a Saturday, but because New Year's Day fell on a Friday, they had originally planned to do it, but then they hadn't got the approvals in time, so those parkruns that were planned for New Year's Day got cancelled, unfortunately. But yeah, generally here we're not really that affected by restrictions.
Yeah, it's crazy things change so quickly again. Moose, not much has changed with your life down in COVID world, is there? It's been pretty same restrictions for you, but you had a good running week.
Yeah, the biggest thing for us is back to masks when we're working. So inside in the store, we've got to wear masks again. There's a period, maybe a month or so, where we didn't have to wear them, so that was pretty nice. It's a lot. It's just nicer to talk to people without having something covering your face. It's just not as... I guess, well, it's the pleasant thing. It's not as comfortable, but it's also, you feel like you don't read the person as well, and you can't really maybe connect with them as well when everything's, when all the like the facial kind of or what mannerisms are not there.
Yeah, you're spot on. Yeah. When I was at Bunnings the other week, like I wanted to ask the person a question and I like went up to walk up and like pull mine down so they could see that I like had a smile underneath and like was friendly. And I'm like, this is exactly why we wear masks. So when you talk to people, you're not kind of spitting all over them. But I know that feeling. Yeah, you want to see people's face.
Yeah, yeah. So it was nice to not have to wear them, but it won't be too long, hopefully. But yeah, I did have a good week of running. So I hit 100 miles again, which is like it's probably the next benchmark after 100K, right? When you're building mileage, when you hit 100K, it's pretty good. And then when you hit 100 miles, you know things are going well again. So that's what I hit. And so Monday morning I did 8K and then did drills and strides on the, I think up the road or on the river maybe, 8.5 with the group. Well, with the group, so a mate of mine, Brian and Ali, afternoon, went to Ali's house in Aries and ran 12K. The next morning we did a workout at Deakin Uni. So a big group of us, not sure how many, maybe like 10 of us or so, went did 15 by 400. So the goal was to run them, well, I had down about 3 to 5K pace. We took a minute between. I wanted some speed work, but I also wanted, I don't want it to be long rest and super fast. So it was somewhere in between with 60 seconds for a, we ran them as a group. I did 15 by 400 because I thought that was a good one because I knew there would be a good group there. And we went off Ali's watch. She would finish a few seconds after us and then we would go off her 60-second rest. So we were taking probably like 64, 65 seconds. We started them in around 67 or maybe the first one was a bit quick, 66. And then they varied between 66 and 68 for a while. And then we, at 10 reps, after 10 reps, a few of us changed into spikes. So I chucked the Dragonflies on and did my first actual workout in them. Or, well, I did my first 2K worth of work in them. And we got going a little bit. So I think the last five were 65, 65, 63, 62, 61. And then the group was really good up until those last few, and then it started to, a few of the boys weren't really running at their 5K pace. Maybe it was more like a 1500 sort of pace in the end, and the group started to splinter a little, but really nice workout, perfect morning down there, great weather, no wind, and yeah, good vibes. So that was a good workout, Surf Coast Track Club.
So those last two moves, what, like 62, 61, what pace is that for you? 3K?
No, it's not 3K.
When you started saying some of the boys were dropping down their 1500 meter pace, I'm thinking, you're a 404 mile here? What are you talking about?
Yeah, maybe. When I said some of us, I meant some of us were at 1500 pace and others were at 400 pace.
Okay, gotcha.
400 to 800 pace. And even none of us were actually at 1500 pace. The last one was more 800 pace, we'll call it.
That pretty fast, like all out. Do you have many more gears after that, 61?
Not many more gears. No.
Do you think
you don't need any more gears.
Yeah. Do you think you could run a sub 2 minute 800?
No. No, I don't.
What about, I'm impressed with the fact that it only took you a minute 44 to change shoes.
Yeah, we got in there pretty quick.
It's pretty good.
So they're set up on the side and a few of the, like when you're putting shoes on that you've never run in before, they're always done up a bit tighter. And then you've got a pretty sweaty foot at the time. So that's also, and it's swollen from doing the workout. So it's quite difficult to get on, but we did it. I actually hurt my back, sewing my shoes up. And then for the first 50 meters of that next rep, my back was tight. And then the rep felt horrible, but by the next one, it was good again. It's just something that I get. Sometimes when I do a warm-up, stop, change my shoes, my back seizes up. And it did it while I was changing into my spikes. But anyway. So the next morning, that evening I ran just a double with Ali and Anglesey. Went out to Aries. Bree was on the bike. Ran 16K with Ali and ran into Dane Verway with his brother Ned and his partner Simone out. They were camping in Aries, and we sort of saw them up ahead, and they turned around and ran with us for about 10 miles. So, oh no, probably joined them for about maybe six. But that was a good run. We got some hills in. My quads were stuffed from the 400s. I was pretty sore through there. And we went down some steep hills, so it wasn't real quick running, but it was a nice 10-mile.
They illegally camping, or are they in like a correct spot? Dano strikes me as the guy that'd be doing some illegal camping in this time of the year.
They were in the some weird, like, girl guides camp or something like that. I don't know what it was, but apparently they had to organise it through. Maybe I think it was Simone's name, because the Verway surname was on the blacklist down there from past years. so we just got a few k's in with them, and then that afternoon, real slow jog with Bree around town. Went up to the footy oval. I don't know how some people run around ovals. We got up there. I said to Bree, let's run on the soft grass. We just do laps of the cricket oval. And then I got there and did one lap, and I was like, fuck this. There's no way I'm doing this. Let's run off in the bush some more. And didn't really last too long. Next morning, went out 16.5K around Anglesey. We did some surges. Blake, Matty Gunther and Ali were there. Ran with some mates that evening. That was New Year's Eve. Bonner, a couple of the Bonner boys from town. Had a quiet one New Year's Eve. Next morning, we had a workout. So the Surf Coast TC, we met out at Gray's Road in Paraparat. This sort of road, it's just been resurfaced because a lot of the cycling races go out here. A lot of the local cycling clubs use it for their course. So the council's looked after them. They resurfaced it. It's a beautiful road, pretty flat. We did a 20-minute threshold, straight into 30-second rest, 30-second hard, 10 of them. So after the 20 minutes, we got 30 seconds of jog, and then straight into, alternating 30-second hard, easy. So I ran with Matty Gunther. We ran 3:09 average, started at 3:05. We had a strong tailwind behind us for that first 3-ish K, so ran 3:05, 3:07, 3:09, turned around, got the headwind, but we also got some downhill, so ran 3:09, 3:12, 3:11, and then the ons were about, I think they were about 2:50, and some of them got pretty quick down to under 2:40 pace. Yeah, so all up 9.25K with average 3:16. Pretty good workout. We were stuffed at the end. Had a bit of a debate with Ali about whether we should rest after the 20 minutes. She really wanted to do the workout going straight into the 10x30-30 because she wanted to make it more realistic as a race would be. And she said it'll be fine as long as you control your threshold heart rate through the 20 minutes. It shouldn't feel that bad. But we didn't really control our threshold heart rate too well.
It's actually interesting you brought that up, Moose, because that was going to be my question about, because 30 seconds recovery after a tempo is like nothing. So if you haven't controlled your tempo, that next 10 minutes is going to be absolute hell. But like the fact that you ran, you know, pretty quick for those 30s, like I would have assumed that you were feeling pretty controlled after 20 minutes to be able to do that.
Yeah, we were feeling pretty controlled, but we still didn't control our threshold that well. It was pretty humid out, and I feel like we're a little cooked towards the end just from heat.
Hit 181 heart rate looks at the end of it.
Maybe. I know that we got to the... So I averaged 169, the heart rate... I think we went up a hill towards the end of that rep,
And you did say it was a headwind on the way back, didn't you?
Headwind on the way back.
20 minutes at threshold's a long time. Like, think about when you do three, like 8 minutes at threshold. Like, you have 2 minutes jogging in between.
I knew it was going to be really hard, and I debated with her on the day before during the run about whether it was going to be too hard. And I was sort of campaigning for more like 2 minutes jog and then go into the 30-30s. But she said she wanted this. And to be fair, it was like, it was our fault for not being disciplined, or well, probably my fault for not being that disciplined on the threshold. And it was a hard workout, but we got it done.
Another question, Moose, how much, like, the group effect is great to have people to train with, but if you were doing this on your own and didn't have Gunther there, would you say that you would have run it a little bit, like run the 20 minutes a bit slower? Does it become a bit more of a race feel because there's other people around?
Yeah, when you run a threshold and you've got heart rate as a guide, it's very hard to have a group as well because everyone's heart rate's so different. Mm. And say Gunther's threshold that he kind of estimates is 170 to 174. And say my estimate is I'm at 174 to 178. And all of a sudden I'm at 176 and he's a little lower than that. Well, I have to slow down and he doesn't. But we also want to train as a group. So there's a little bit of overlapping together. And the way that we did it is that we all went 10 minutes out, the whole group, and then we went 10 minutes back. So we turned around and we had bodies in front of us that we were maybe kind of getting enticed by a little bit. And that's potentially where we didn't control it that well on the way back, is because there was like rabbits in front of us that meant maybe we wanted to catch or so. So I think you've got to give up your threshold rigidity to train with the group better there. I think it's worth it. Just because you're one or two beats outside what you think is your threshold doesn't mean you're getting threshold benefit. If you're like 5 to 10 beats out too high, well, yeah, it's not ideal and you're going to ruin the workout. But I think we get a little caught up sometimes in like the exact paces that we're looking at and the exact like stats or specs of the workout, where we got 20 minutes at half marathon pace or whatever close enough to at the moment, which is maybe another way to look at it.
So are you saying, saying to the listeners, pay more attention to pace than heart rate? Is that what you're saying? Because you guys would be able to run a half marathon at 3:09. It's easy.
Yeah, but we would on a race day, but this isn't a race day. This is in the middle of a 100-mile week.
Very good point.
And my first 100-mile week since like July or something. So I was feeling tired and my legs were feeling beat up and dead. So I didn't really care about pace. I didn't really care that much about heart rate. I just wanted to run with Gunther for 20 minutes. And it should have felt somewhere in the vicinity of what threshold felt like, because I actually forgot my chest strap and was just going off my wrist. And we all know wrist heart rate's not great.
I was about to ask that. Were you just running with heart rate on your Garmin screen?
It seemed accurate enough. I had just I had heart rate and I had time. I don't think I had pace going. So I needed to know when the 20 minutes was up. But I also had heart rate as the second piece of data on there. But yeah, like, is 20 minutes threshold, which if you gave to 90% of runners out there who have been running more than 5 years, could go out and do without having a watch on, they should be able to by now. They should be experienced enough to know what it feels like.
The feel of it, yep.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a good workout and it's a good spot out there. We're going to use it for our marathon build-ups as well. That afternoon, we went out to Currawong Falls Loop and just ran in the bush out there. It was kind of rainy and a bit wet, so we were hidden in the bush. It's a really good loop Ali's got out there, this recovery little trail, pretty flat. Didn't say it was flat. My GPS started going funky today, so it was 222 meters of climbing, but it was really nowhere near it. Someone, Paul, Phil South, linked me to a explanation of why everyone's GPS has been going haywire the last week or so. It's got something to do with some Sony GPS chip in the watch, something like that. Anyway, next morning, ran with a mate of mine, Johnny Matthews. I don't know whether you guys remember Johnny from the running scene.
Did he run Athletics Accident?
Was it? Nah, I think that was Johnny Rayner. Johnny Matthews, I'm pretty sure, ran for Glenn Huntley. He used to run with, what's his name?
Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about. He used to be a real good junior. Luke Hennessy or something like that?
Good mates with Luke Hennessy.
He always used to smoke up my trainer partner from Bendigo, Cody Williamson. They were the same age. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Johnny, he ran at the Ron Clark Classic back when it was in Geelong in the 15. He's run something like maybe 3:52 for 1500, I think. But he worked for Saucony for a long time before he left, and that's where I know him from. So he was in town on holidays, and I remember Johnny around town, and it was good to see Johnny because he's looking super fit. He's a dad. He's got been off the piss for like 3.5 months, and just been doing like a lot of exercise. He looks fit as so. It's good to run with Johnny. Next morning, I went back to work that day, so drove up to Ballarat after that, worked, and then drove home that evening. Didn't get a second run in, and then long run on Sunday morning. So we went down to went in Anglesey. It was piss rain all night. Trails, I had this loop planned, it's a great loop, but the rain just ruins everything. So we had to change our plans and run on a more major dirt road. Ended up getting 600 meters of climbing. I ran 30K, and yeah, it was about, I reckon it was about 420 pace in the end. But I forgot to start my watch after I stopped it at one corner, so that was frustrating. And then I'm back on Sunday second run, so 6K in the Arvo, felt great. First time I run by myself in ages, and so it was nice to just chill out by yourself for half an hour, put the earbuds in, put the old playlist on. Fun. 160K. Yep. Good one.
Good week.
Good week, all right. Yeah. I reckon you were talking today that you think you're in 14:30 shape for 5K, but I reckon you're better than that. Those 400s. And that sharp stuff at the end of the threshy. I got you down for 14:15 in Bendigo in a couple of weeks. Going to break the track record and take the win.
That's 15 minutes. I'll take the track record, but I might not win.
Mark Tucker's track record. Talk about it later on in the show. Yeah, I reckon you'll win. Your favourite in my eyes at the moment. See what's up.
You running?
Not sure yet. Might go to the track one day this week. You can't make predictions at the moment when they're shutting borders, opening them up, moving the border bubble, all those kind of things. Anyway, I hope so, though. Brad, tell us about your week.
All right, so kicked off Monday morning. Flat loop around Mulligan's. So it was 45 minutes at 4:24s. Didn't feel great, but my heart rate was pretty low. I think it was like 133. Did weights that afternoon. And then Tuesday was our track session with the group. And so these sessions were fortnightly, but we're now actually starting up sessions weekly, which is good. But we'll sort of alternate between track and going somewhere else, because I don't think we need to be on the track every single Tuesday. So the session was, there's two parts to it. So the first part was more sort of fartlek or continuous running, where you do 800, 200 jog, 400, 200 jog, and you do three sets of that. So in my head, I thought, roughly sort of 10K effort for the 800, jog 200 in about sort of 50 seconds to a minute, and then run 400 at about 5K effort. So for me, I ran like 2:31 and 71 for the 2:31 and 71 for the second set, and then 2:27 and 70. So probably a touch quicker than 10K and a touch quicker than 5K pace. And then, yeah, I was jogging the 200s in about 50 seconds. After that, 4.6K, I jogged a lap in around 2 minutes. And then we had 4 400s off just a minute standing recovery. So for some reason, I just struggled to get going the first rep. So I did 70, 68, 67, 65. So, yeah, it was an enjoyable session. It was sort of a good mix of just some sort of continuous running and then some quicker stuff at the end.
There's there's something in that, though, isn't there? Like, I remember Moose has given me stuff like two sets of seven 300s and then with a lap jog in between the sets. Mm. And then you start that last set with the first one off the lap jog, so you should be fully recovered. And it's usually the slowest one of the set. It just takes a while to get rolling.
Yeah, I thought it would be one
of the quicker ones. Perceived effort's high, yeah. And you're like, okay, I'm back here. And then you see the watch and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also deceiving as well, because that first 4.6K, like, it's not hard, but it still tires you out a little bit to make the 400s a bit tougher. Anyway, it was a good fun session, good turnout again. Then on Wednesday, the week before, I think I did like 70 minutes. So I wanted to just increase this a little bit. So I did 17.5K at 4.11s. Felt really good the second half. It was definitely the strongest I've felt on a longer run in the last few months. So, yeah, that was the Wednesday. Thursday, we had Viv's granny's funeral in the morning. So it was rough New Year's Eve. And then I went out that afternoon and just did 10K at 4.18s out at Mulligan's. And then, yeah, Friday was my second session. And I was originally, I remember I said last week, I was going to do a park run as a tempo. And then the park runs got cancelled on New Year's Day. So sort of slept in and, wasn't overly motivated to go out and do a tempo on my own. So I ended up going back to the gym and, jumped on the treadmill and progressed. So I did 9K. 3:22 average, so like 30:15 it took me, which was like maybe 20-25 seconds faster than the week before. 163 average heart rate, 171 max, so felt like I was pretty much in the right zone. And I find the treadmill, like, I don't feel too banged up, and like, it stops me from overreaching, because I just go, all right, my heart rate's around where it should be. I'm just gonna keep it there. And I reckon the treadmill workouts, it's probably the first 5 to 10 minutes is the hardest, because, as I said last week, you haven't done any strides. And so the pace feels a little bit too quick. But after about 10 minutes, you start to sort of really hit your rhythm. And, so that was the Friday. Saturday, met up with Chris Hamer for a run. So we met, 7:30, and we just did a lap around Mulligan's, 45 minutes. He's pretty much just been running like 30, 40 minutes a day during COVID, he said, because he was working from home during COVID. So he managed to get up to sort of doing an hour to an hour 15 most days. But spent 45 minutes trying to get him out to do some sessions. So he said he might come along to one of the Tuesday afternoon sessions if we do something sort of north side closer to where he lives. That was 4.11s, but that was the first run where GPS was a little bit weird, so not sure how accurate that one was. Weight Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday morning met up with Trav. Hadn't seen Trav for eight weeks. So we actually ran out at Stromlo. We'd had some overnight rain, and so it was one of those trails where it was just slippery in sections, and it was also, there was parts where the trail would just give way and you'd actually sink into it. And I just find perceived effort on those sort of runs is hard, because you can never purely relax, because you're just constantly worried about sort of slipping. And Trav actually had a pretty bad fall at about 12K into it, so he's his knees were pretty banged up. But we did 2 hours, or just over 2 hours. We did 29K, 4.11s. And there's a few decent climbs in there. And it certainly made me realize that I haven't been doing many hills lately, because the hills were a bit of a grind. 110K for the week. So around the same that I've been doing the last couple of
weeks. So is that accurate, you reckon, that GPS? Because it sounds like hilly and wet and stuff, and you still average 4.11s.
Yeah, pretty close, because I have done that run other times, and it was pretty much on par. It was more just our first. So what I'm finding with the GPS error is the first maybe 500 meters is like completely out of whack, and then so the first K is not very accurate, but then after that it's fine. So I had like 4:57 for the first K, and Trav had like 3:30 or something. Like, so we'll just weigh out. But then after that, it seemed okay. Actually, another interesting thing happened on this. So, because I do a lot of my running now in the afternoons, just because my body's better. In the mornings, like, my Achilles are just so stiff that unless I've been up for like probably an hour and a half to 2 hours, when I start a run, it's sore. Like, they do warm up, and I don't have any pain whatsoever for the rest of the day. And so, because we started at 7:30, I'd probably only been out of bed for an hour before that. So the first like 4 or 5K, I was just in this sort of uncomfortable shuffle. And so the combination of my tight Achilles and probably just a bit tight through my back and hips, like, Trav was talking to me, and I was like, I was heavy breathing at sort of 4:30 kilometer pace. And I was finding it really difficult. So I said to Trav after about 20 minutes, I said, mate, I'm just going to stop here and just sort of reset. So I stopped for about a minute and just sort of stretched out my hips and my back. And I went from, on my Strava here. So the fifth K was 4:43. The next K was 4 minutes. And then I was 4:15. It was just like, it was a complete reset. And the run was way better after I did that. So, something in that for me now, that sometimes I just have to just stop and reset my run and go from there. So, that was my week.
Biggest week in a while too, wouldn't it?
I've had 3 weeks now, sort of between 108 and 110.
Good. That activation stuff. Can't you just do that before you start the run? Or you think you need to loosen up even more by running?
Yeah. Well, the only way my Achilles, like, loosens off is if I've actually moved around a lot. And, like, I'm not going to, like, you know, how do you move around a lot before you run other than going out for a long walk? And
You couldn't smash it with that massage gun either. That would be too tender.
Oh yeah, I can't squeeze my Achilles. Like, even now, if I was to squeeze my Achilles, I'd hit the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have any pain. Like, once they're warmed up for the day, they're fine. And so some runs, it only takes me, like, if I stop after 5 minutes of running and just sort of have a quick stretch, I feel completely different. So I could try that. I could actually go out and just run for 5 minutes before I actually, like, start with Trav and just see whether that makes a difference. But yeah.
Good work. Whip through this week, eh? Then we get talking about some running news. Kicked it off. I just changed some of my easy runs from 60 to 70 this week. And yeah, that overall kilometers kind of went up. It's funny when you add 10 minutes here and there, how the Ks go up. 70 minutes instead of 60 Monday, 4:36 pace. Must have been a bit tired for 4:36s. That's pretty slow. Oh, it's kind of pretty standard for me. Maybe a bit slower than usual. Then on Tuesday, which was my birthday, thanks for wishing me happy birthday, Moose. That was great to hear your greeting on Tuesday. How can you talk to a bloke the whole day, Brad, and then just not send happy birthday through at one stage?
Well, I thought Bree
may have... Bree sent me a message.
I thought Moose may have hacked Bree's account and done it on behalf of...
Something like that. Talks to me about all this running stuff all day, but no happy birthday. Anyway, Archie rocked up in my driveway with 8 beers, which was nice of him for my birthday. I'm loving those Dan Murphy packs at the moment, you know, where you just go pick... It's like an 8-pack, but they just pick 8 different beers. Have you seen those?
No, good.
So you just get one of each, just a bit of a surprise. We did 4x2K, 2 minutes jog in between. I think I got this open here. 4x2K, we're at kind of different fitness levels. So I led the first K in about 3:05, and then I actually ran the second K in about 3 minutes to kind of come out at about 6:05 average. We had 3 minutes jog in between. It's good watching someone else when they're smooth. It kind of makes you feel bad, though, when you're kind of nearly feeling like full gas and you're hanging on the back of it. But got there in the end, so we went 6:07, 6:05, 6:05, 6:04, but mostly all off a kind of slow, or not slow, but a relatively slower first K, then the second K, and then, 3 minutes jog was probably maybe 30 seconds too much. I reckon we could have done off 2.5 minutes, but hot and humid, and got it done. All up, bang on 10K in 33 minutes, 28 seconds. Doubled.
You ran next to Archie for it.
I hung on to the back of him for it. He ran 10.04. He's been doing like 65-70 hour work week, so one of their chefs left or something, so he's I think he only ran 3 times last week. Too busy running the show down at Brew Burger down there. Few listeners have been getting in there, having a chat to him, buying some burgers, which is nice of him. Then did a double just 31 minutes in the afternoon at 4:41 pace. Actually failed, I remember, on this run. Failed, I was covering the ground really well. Got home, stopped the watch, checked the pace, and I was like, 4:41s? I swear that was 4:20s. So maybe it's his GPS issue everyone's talking about, eh? I might just start blaming that as well.
No, I reckon that all started in the new year.
Oh, was it? Okay. Like the Y2K bug or something. It's affected the satellites.
Well, they did say something like that. I've read something about it.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard of it. Yeah. I've seen a few people like putting it in their Strava titles. Anyway, Wednesday I did 70 minutes easy at 4:35. Thursday was New Year's Eve. I caught up with listener Shieldsy. He's got a little cabin over in one of the caravan parks over here in Moama. He comes up a bit. Long-time Patreon supporter, Alan Shields. Scottish bloke, so it's I've got to really listen when he's talking to me when we're running. I don't know how he can understand me, and I can hardly understand him, but we had about 35 minutes of jogging together, talking, and that was the afternoon when Victoria shut the border, so that was really crazy up here, because we're like a tourist town, and I think they said something like 14,000 people left. Like, we're only a 7,000 people town left in, well, it took him 5 hours to go about 2.5 Ks, because we've only got one bridge. And when the Victorian government went on at about 3 o'clock, 3:30 PM, it was just crazy in our little town. I feel for so many of those like holiday parks, because some of them hold like 2,000, 2,500 people, and were fully like 100% capacity. And then when everyone left, they were empty and trying to figure out refunds. And yeah, Shieldsy sat in his car for, I think it was 5 hours, and then he had to drive back to Melbourne, which was another 3. So yeah, pretty, I don't know, you saw kind of the unsafe side of it up here in New South Wales, of people, especially people who had been drinking and stuff, like, you know, 3 o'clock New Year's Eve. Imagine how many times you've been sourced at that hour, fellas, over the years. So, yeah, it was really, I went down, I had to drop Carly's sisters down to the pub and couldn't get really close to the pub, but got a couple of blocks away and dropped them off. And then that was where we do like our threshold workout. And like, this is a 7.5K loop that we can run 2 times a week, and usually we don't see like any cars, maybe like 1 or 2, but this day it was just all bumper to bumper, and like people who are going out on New Year's Eve are like caught in the traffic, so they're just like drinking and partying in like the in the gutter, like where their cars like parked, and four-wheel drives are going across nature strips. It was like the craziest, like, yeah, one of the craziest experiences of my life, just because you associate that location with like doing thresholds, and it's super quiet country roads. But anyway, that changed things a bit up here on New Year's Eve. And then New Year's Day, I did a workout. I did 7x5 minutes at threshold with 2 minutes jogging between. Went back down that spot I was just talking about, and was like eerie, just nobody around. Even like the accommodation places still had their like no vacancies like flashing, but then you run past them and there's like no cars in there. Average 3:11s for the 5 minutes, 2 minute jog in between. Was really humid. I think it was like 90% humidity, 89% it says here. So just like sweated up a massive storm, and wore the heart rate monitor. And it took me, like, my perceived effort was really high, and I thought I was like the pace felt like threshold stuff, and I probably couldn't have went much longer. But the heart rate was like really low. Like the first one was 153, the second one 159, third one 159, fourth one 159, and then the last two got to like 162. And 163 for the last one, with the pace kind of staying the same. But I don't know, the humidity, I'd take like heat over humidity any day of the week, I reckon. Like, it just felt super hard, but the heart rate wasn't telling me it was super hard. So don't know what was going on there. But yeah, good workout all up. That was like 13.7k at 3:27s. Some recovery on a Saturday, just an easy 55 minutes. And then at this stage, like, Bendigo is included in the border bubble. So I drove Hudson just to see my parents, because I'm not sure how long it's going to stay with Bendigo in the border bubble, because last time it wasn't. So he might not see them for a while if they tighten that up a bit. So it was a really chilled out 55 minutes in the morning. And then 2 hours of Archie on Sunday. We did 28.5K, 4:13 average. Same thing though about the humidity. Like, I remember looking down my watch like 10 minutes in, just knowing it was going to be a super long day. It just felt like, just, I don't know, it just sits in the air, doesn't it? It's kind of hard to explain.
How humid is it?
It was 88% on Sunday morning. Not like, it was, it's at 20 degrees. And even we run past this school that has like the temperature on it, and we always like see who can guess the closest. And like, this is like 10 minutes before we finish up. And both of us were guessing like 28, and then we ran past it and it was like 21. And we're like, really? Like, but it was this one of those ones where last like 20-30 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is going to be yuck, like. And it was actually, yeah, interesting. So we had to, we ran from Echuca to Moama, and then when we went back to Echuca, that's where all the police are set up. So we kind of had to stop for 30 seconds, pull our IDs out of our running shorts and show the police officers that we're a border resident, so allowed to cross the border. So yeah, border life, 137K for the week, which was good. About, yeah, 7 or 8K more than I did last week. So on the rebuild. Hoping Bendigo still stays in the border bubble so I can go down and have a race with Moose in a couple of weeks, but the Canberra 5K is off because I'm not allowed to leave the northern border bubble and then be able to come back into Victoria. And because we do so much in Victoria, it's not worth leaving it. But yeah.
I've liked your approach, Brady, in your comeback. Like you've been doing some quick running, but you've been breaking it up by like decent jog recoveries. Whereas, you know, like, you know, 3 minutes recovery after 2K reps and, you know, even 2 minutes recovery after sort of 5 minutes at threshold, you know, is relatively generous. But it's, yeah, it's good to see you doing that because I reckon so many people just rush back into doing, you know, sessions off really short recoveries when they're not quite ready for it.
Yeah, and I'm being like intentionally patient as well, like just being like, there's no rush. Let's just, because that actually, I've been on 5 minute reps like every second week. For the last maybe 6 or 7 weeks, and I started just doing 4 of them, and they were like at 318, 320 pace with like my heart rate at kind of like 168 kind of thing. But I'm slowly kind of bringing them down in pace and add an extra rep in, and my heart rate's, you know, lower as well. So it's kind of good to see. But you got to play that patient game. But one thing that's not good, Brad, doesn't look sexy on Strava.
Because you're having too much
recovery in between and you're not smashing the reps fast enough. So you just get no love on Strava when you actually do stuff smartly. I was thinking about just doing a super session on the weekend just to get something, getting a bit of kudos on you.
The two workouts you do there, they're pretty similar, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. Well, this one, which one was it? One of them was
4x2.
Bit more fifth gear in the 2K reps. Like a bit higher intensity.
Yeah, that was actually changes because intentionally I wanted to make the 2K reps threshold and I wasn't going to do them with Archie. And then I was going to do some faster stuff later in the week because I thought I was running Canberra 5K. Like I was going to do some short, sharp stuff, try to kind of do some stuff at 250, 255 kind of pace. But then I thought Archie's doing this workout, like we'll do it together and get that group training effect. And then when all the borders shut and stuff and it was just a weird time, I just kind of, like that session was pretty easy, the 5 minute reps. And I'm like, I was doing it solo. I'm just like, I just want to go out and do something here and just something that's a bit fun that's not going to absolutely destroy me for the sake of doing something. So, yeah. But to be honest, that wasn't what was written on my program on Monday, which is, yeah. But I need to do something a bit. I've hardly gone quicker than 3 minute Ks for the last 2 months, so I need to do something if I'm going to jump on the track with this 61-second 400-meter man over here, Brad.
You'll be right.
It is funny you say that because one thing actually that Stewie, like, we'll go into. Should we talk about Stewie McSween's run?
Yeah, we can do that.
Now
we might play the patrons a bit later.
I think I know what you're going to say, Moose, and I completely agree.
Yeah, because Nick Badeau actually said Stewie hasn't even gone close to running a 57-second 400 in months, yet he's come out and run like 4 of them in a row down at this mile meet in Tassie. So you definitely don't have to run that pace in training to be able to do it on a race day.
What I'm also lacking, though, is I'm not even doing strides. Like, I'm sure Stewie would be doing some top-end strides, wouldn't he?
Yeah, probably.
A similar example that I've heard of was like Chris Selinski. I know 5K and 10K are slightly different events, but he ran his American record off very much just base training, which is sort of the stuff that you're doing, Brady. So, like, I know Crichton's a big believer of it as well, that you don't lose your speed. If you're fit and strong, it'll be there at the end. And yeah, and that's sort of what, yeah, and that's what Selinski's doing and Stewie's doing, and you're probably doing it as well, Brady.
Yeah.
You're probably surprised.
I listened to your mate Tin Man. He was on Rick's podcast, Runners Radio, big like 2-hour episode the other day when I was driving to and from Bendigo. Hudson wasn't keen on that, sitting in the back seat. Don't think he got much out of it, but he was talking about that as well. And he was referring to, like, remember when Zatopek used to do, like, 50 by 400s? But he'd do them, like, slow, like CV kind of, like, threshold pace.
We read about it. We don't remember.
Oh, yeah. You weren't there?
Yeah. I think I missed it by a year or two.
You remember reading about it? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading about it.
Yeah. So what are you saying, Brad? You reckon I've still got a bit of speed there to outkick the big moves in a couple of weeks?
Oh, I just think that the way you're training, it's smart and it decreases the chance of injury and it gets you fitter than what you actually think.
Yeah, well, that's what the physio said as well.
For shorter, like you gotta, or even short, for shorter distance.
Physio's like, you got to reload the hammy as well. Like, you just got to, go on it. Anyway, see what happens there. You want to talk about Stewie Moose? You watched it, didn't you? I was out for dinner, actually. And then it's rare that you get super excited, like huge froth levels like you did about this.
Yeah, well, I did. I was watching it and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great to see him break 4 minutes?
So did you know it was, because I didn't even know it was on until I think Sean Whip like messaged our Instagram page like 65 seconds before it started.
Oh, yeah, no, I knew it was on. I knew from the Tassie guys, that Spark Track Club page, they were sort of giving some hints about putting it up. And then they went, they may have gone live. And then I checked in with their page and then thought, oh, let me just jump on the actual feed on my computer. And so I pulled it up and I was like, oh, this looks like a shield meet. Just down at the local tiny track, the high school track or something. To be fair, the camera never went into the crowd or the grandstand, so you really didn't know how many people were there. But it was pretty barren out there. So initially I thought this was a handicap race because it was run at one of the carnivals down there, which are normally handicapped, I think. So I was watching it thinking, oh, okay, well, we'll see some handicap racing. I'll get frustrated and turn it off. But they all lined up together and I thought, oh, cool, this is going to be an actual race. We're going to see someone win a race who deserves to win a race. And I thought 4 minutes will be pretty good. I guess Stewie hadn't been doing much since his break after Europe. And I'm like, well, let's see how quick they go. And it looked like he'd brought a pacer along. Adam Spencer, was it? Someone Spencer? And it took him through the actual 400 mark in 56 seconds, through the 409 mark in 57, I think it was. And I was like, whoa, this is on. He's given himself every chance to really nail this. And then they went around the next lap and the pacer had to sort of step aside as Stewie at 750 meters went to the front. And then he went through, oh, gee, off the top of my head, I think it was, I can't remember it exactly what he went through in, but he didn't drop any pace. And I thought, we are really on here. I think it was like 154 he might have gone through in. And I thought, there's no way he'll be able to pull out like something special because he's just lost his pace or he's by himself. There's no atmosphere. Well, it didn't look like there was atmosphere, right, compared to what he's used to running in front of Diamond League crowds. And then you just saw this bloke just metronomically just tick off another maybe 58 second lap or something. And you thought, he comes through in, I think it was 248 or something, or 250 maybe. And you're like, what am I watching? I'm watching someone that's running a 3:50 mile just on a random evening down on a random track with no competition, basically time trialing. And I'm in the middle of reading still Herb Elliott's book where he was unbeaten, won a gold medal, and he didn't run faster than 3:54. And Stewie's doing this in a time trial in the middle of fucking nowhere in Tasmania. I thought, this is someone special. We are watching someone special in Australian athletics. And look, it wasn't... If you played that to someone who didn't understand running, then they were just like, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen. But if you know the splits and you know the significance, it was absolutely epic.
Yeah. So he ran 3:50.61 for the third fastest Australian ever, but the fastest Australian time in 15 years, and a 4-second PB. Like, yeah, in those conditions you're talking about, in like a time trial kind of setup. So Craig Mottram's gone 348.9 and Simon Boyle 349.9.
And we were talking, you know, like Albie Thomas Mile was like a couple of weeks beforehand, it was one in 357, which was like a legit race. And there was people, there was people there right till the home straight. So
yeah,
for him to run 7 seconds faster. And I wonder, because going into this race, Ramsden had the fastest time in the year, the fastest mile time in the world this year. So I wonder how much banter was being thrown around in the lead up, saying, you know, from Stewie saying to Ramsden, I'm after your title.
Yeah, there were a few titles he took. I think he ran the Australian All Comers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fastest mile by on the Australian soil. Obviously, I think they were talking up the Tasmanian All Comers. Like, that was what they thought was a realistic target, but he's gone and taken the Australian All Comers, and it took him to obviously the world lead in the mile. So no one in the world ran faster than him in 2020, and then only four, like, this is a bit of Clay Hopgood's work here. Only four athletes have ever run a sub 351 mile and sub 27:30 for a 10,000 meter race. Eliud Kipchoge, Said Owita, Yanou Alamirou, and now Stuart McSween. Now, there's four pretty big names there. I mean, three outstanding names, like legends of the sport, really.
It's just the way he does it. Like, the most impressive thing for me, I found, was it was a four-second PB. Like, he's ran in competitive mile races. Like, he'd do at least one good one a year. And to take 4 seconds off at that level is huge. I guess he is the Australian 1500 meter record holder, though. And just the way he covers the ground, like, he just eats up the track. Like, it almost looks like it's a miniature athletics track when you're watching him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I do sessions on track, and it takes me ages to get around the bend, and I know I'm running at a different pace, but it's like he just gets around there so quick. It's crazy to watch.
Well, he gets around there a lot quicker.
He does. I shouldn't have compared myself to him. I know what trucks are, though.
Brady comparing himself to elite athletes again.
Why do they go around the bend faster? I don't understand.
Someone measured this truck? Maybe the one in Shep and Moama and Bendigo, Bankstown, wherever else I've raced all along. He's a freak. He's just a freak.
He's really tall.
He is.
And he's very... He's got a forward lean, and he's up on his toes, and... It's very bouncy, propulsive type gait cycle, I reckon. And so when he finds his rhythm, you're right, he does just eat the track up with very long sort of strides and very long, tall legs.
And he's super stable through his hips. I reckon he's got like such a, because he doesn't have that traditional high sort of back lift and, high knee sort of thing. And so I reckon his, like, hip stability is so good. He's just got that strong platform to work from. I'm sure he's in for a big 2021.
Hey, fella, this in on the 29th of December. Did we go too early on the show last week? Should have this been the recap show? Would this change your athlete of the year?
Yeah, probably should have been.
I did think about that, saying to myself, who's going to do anything in the last 3 days of the year? I went for Stewie, though. Does it change your opinions on him?
In hindsight? Well, yeah. Like, really, it's very hard to split those two athletes in terms of what they've achieved this
back
year. You're splitting hairs. I don't know. Like, I'll stick with Jess just because it's three Aussie records. But there's no doubt that he's phenomenal. And he's a legitimate medal chance at the Olympics.
Mate, can you imagine if he goes to the front, like, of the 5K with three or four laps to go?
Why not the 1500?
Yeah, same.
I mean, it's the in a fast race, in a 1500.
And runs them off their feet.
There aren't many that can do that. Like, he is legitimate chance here for a gold medal in the 1500. And the way that all the 1500 meters runners are getting popped at the moment, he might be the real favourite by the time
it comes around. He's got to go up against Cheptegei in the 5.
Cheptegei in the 5, yeah, so in the 15.
Just go win the 15, Stewie.
Chariot's nearly unbeatable at the moment.
Well, that's how he races, doesn't he? Let Chariot do it and go with him. Just get a silver medal. Yeah. That'd be all right.
Definitely suits, it suits Stewie's game plan, or it suits his style of running, or his strength of running anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully there's a 1500 double opportunity at the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't think there was. Is that right? Because isn't... Oh, nah. Maybe. They might change it. I don't know. I got a feeling that there's not an opportunity for that, but maybe a 15, 10K double.
Brad, do you want to get onto that? Have a look at the schedule?
I can look fine.
The schedule's up. I know you're good at the internet, though. That's
like Jamie from Joe Rogan.
I'm the old guy. I shouldn't be good at technology.
Well, do you want to thank your first Patreon supporter, Moose?
Yeah, I'll thank Robbie Collins. Robbie is on Strava as Melbourne/Liverpool/Wellington in the UK. Is that
only Liverpool's in the UK. Wellington's in New Zealand and Melbourne's in Australia.
So what's that UK stand?
Yeah, well, that was where he signed up from Patreon. That's where I think he's based at the moment.
All right, okay. So 16:21, 5K, 34:30, 10K, 116 for the half, 251. And he's got his name printed on his yellow Liverpool racing singlet. Oh, I'm just trying to do some math.
Yeah, when I was typing this today, I'm like, this one, I'm going to give Moose this one because I want to know which one he says. I don't think it's a marathon because 116 should convert quicker than 251.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like... I'm thinking the 10K.
What did you just do? Some maths.
Probably the... I'm just trying to think about other people I know with these types of PBs and work it out from there. I think the 10K is probably the strongest.
All right, well done, Robbie. Moose reckons your 10K is the strongest out of all your PBs. Hope they're right. I'm going to thank Douglas Christie from Shorehead, Kapar in the UK. Was drinking on New Year's Eve while I was doing some yoga, some Brewdog Punk IPA. You boys ever had that one? It's a good drop. I've had it before when I was in London. Really good beer. So he's got good beer choice. One hard to find some times on Douglas, but I hope I've got these ones right. 151 half marathon in March 2020 before the world got locked down, I reckon, at the Meadows half marathon. Don't think that's his PB, though. I think it was more of a training run going by Strava notes, but it was hard to find much on him. Also did a bit of a virtual kind of challenge, a bit of a virtual marathon where he ran point to point from St. Andrews over there to King's Kettle. It just looked like he had a bit of a challenge to get from point to point. Did in 4:50. Some pretty detailed notes there as well about all these gels and stuff he took. So maybe he's getting ready for a quick marathon when they're back on. Doesn't look real old. I reckon maybe 20, 22. Bit of a young blood there, Douglas. So thanks for your support over there on Patreon. Hope you enjoy the bonus content. Croaks.
All right. I've got Norman Shreve. He's from Hornsey in England. And I looked up his world athletics profile. He's run 8:26 for 3K. 14:31 for 5 on the track, but 14:20 on the road, 29:57 for 10K on the road, 64:40 for the half, and he ran 2:17:14 at Valencia in December. And that 2:17 that he ran broke his club record, and it was a 45-year-old club record. He runs for Cambridge and Coleridge Athletics Club. So quality runner, but he's also a smart guy. He's done a PhD for clinicians. He's into obstetric registrar and into reproductive immunology. So well done on your recent 2:17, and thanks for your support, Norman.
It's fast.
Big Norm, are we going to go through
64:40, I reckon. That's the best one, isn't it?
Well, double it. You got 60. You got... to double and add 10 minutes.
Well, I'm just going off people I know. Like, Brad's run 2:17, but he hasn't run 64:40, but he's ran 29:57 and 14:30.
Yeah, that was the standout originally for me, but, you know, they do that. You know, some people do the calculation where they'll double and add 10. I don't think it works. Maybe double and add 8.
I always thought it was double and add 7.
Oh, you got
that's 7. What they used to do in Bendigo, the old fellas. Well,
In terms of world athletics points, his half is 1,005 and his marathon is 1,036.
Oh, really?
Oh, right.
So you should be a 64-minute guy, Croaks.
I should be. Yeah, well, I did run in the wind. and I won by about a minute. So maybe he's run
29.57.
He's run 29.57 on the road, and he's run 14.20 on the road.
Has he done a track 10K?
It's 30.18.
What's his road PB point?
Road PB for his 10K is 9.67, and his 14.20 is 9.50. So it's definitely the
favours the longer.
14.20 is pretty good on the road for 5K.
2.17. I mean, I reckon it'd be much easier to run 2.17 than 14.20.
Well, it depends what type of athlete you are. Moose.
You notice that about the UK? All these guys are from the UK tonight. Thanks over there for the Patreon supporters. But they often do have some good half marathons over there. They don't have any special five. Like, they're still good over 5 and 10, but they're not. It seems like their halves and their marathon more endurance based guys. Should interview him, get him on the show.
Maybe I will. And in terms of your question about the Olympics doubling, so on Tuesday, the 4th of August, in the morning, is the men's 1500 meter round one. And that night is the men's 5000 meter round one.
Yeah, I thought I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, so whereas the men's 10K is on the Friday, the 31st of July. I reckon it's a hard way to do it, do the 10K and then come back for 1500s.
How many days was it in between?
Friday night through to the Tuesday morning.
Mm. So much depends on how the races are run.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see which event he does target, though, because with his 1500-meter speed and, you know, he's got pretty good strength, like, in slow tactical 5K races, like, he'd be right up there in a five.
She'll get him for Friends of the Show episode. I haven't spoken to Stewie for ages. Remember last time Nick Earl did it? Bloody hell.
Oh, God. Yeah. Everyone complained about that. He lost any type of comeback. Or return to the podcast.
Well, it wasn't technically an inside running interview.
I was right back to the emails. It got given to us, and we decided to put it out there. Listener question, Brad.
Listener question. Have you guys got a go-to workout you like to do to check your fitness or know your race fit leading into a race? Does it change for 5, 10K, half marathon, or marathon? Would love to know your thoughts. And that question comes in from Johnny Lowe.
Mm. I like this when it come in on the emails. Johnny's from Shep, I think, too, in the border bubble up here. It's a pretty big question because you're talking about four different distances.
Yeah, well, definitely, like, in terms of race specific workouts, there's definitely going to be different workouts that suit particular events. Like, you know, trying to get a gauge of what marathon shape you're in, the workout you do for that is going to be something like, you know, I did a 2x12K. That's going to be very different to a race-specific workout that you're going to do for 5 or 10K. Yeah,
can I put a caution on this, though, that I don't think it's good to... Because people will then race this workout 2 weeks out to prove themselves they're
like
fit. And then they end up... I've done this with 5x5K before at marathon pace. Then you get to Berlin 3 weeks later and you run shocking.
I think we're all going to answer this very similarly.
Well, no, but I do like... I've done Moose Fart, like, maybe 3 or 4 weeks out from a 10K and then looked back at it and being like, oh, yeah, that's what I averaged. You want to look at it in hindsight, not do it in the lead-up. And I think that's a good one to show me my 10K fitness. 5K, I reckon, is hard. 5K, like, I do like doing reps at 5K pace. I think sometimes over 400 you can bluff yourself a bit because they're over before they start hurting. 800 meter reps, or those kick down ones you got me doing, Moose, before I was meant to do that banks down 5K, where you might do the first lap in 68 or 5K pace and then kick down the second lap. And if you can do that comfortably, that's a good workout before a 5K.
That's the key. What you said there, Brady, is you're doing these sessions and you finish, like, you're not racing the sessions, you're finishing them with a little bit left. Like, and this is why I don't like the question specifically, is because very rarely do you go out and race a session to work out what shape you're in. Like you said before, you go back maybe afterwards and go, oh, okay, so this is, I averaged, you know, for me, for example, like in the lead up to my half marathon PB, I did 2x6K with, I think, maybe a 3-minute float in between. And for those, and I pretty much averaged for that whole session what I was able to run the half marathon at. So the 6K reps were maybe a touch quicker than half marathon pace. And I was obviously having a 3-minute flow. I guess for me, like something like a 10K, like 1K reps, if I can do, I don't know, six 1K reps off a minute recovery, generally what I'll average for that pace, not going balls to the wall for that session, I would like to be able to run that for 10K. Quarters, I think, is a good one for 5K, as long as you don't go out and your floats are the same
deep
pace.
Quarters, explain that. Yeah, 8x400.
Yeah, so you don't 8x400 with a 200 float, but I know so many people that just go out and race, like basically run as hard as they can for 4.8K, which that's not going to be a good indication. But if there's definitely a difference between the 400s and the 200 float, then that's not a bad gauge. Mm. But you shouldn't be racing.
Well, don't they say that whatever you can do that workout in is if you do it properly, that's your 5K shape at the moment?
Roughly, yeah. Because you run 4.8K in the session, but you haven't raced it, and you've had some floats in there. So yeah, so for me it would be maybe quarters for the 5K, 1K reps for 10K, 2x15 to 20 minute reps for a half, and obviously longer for the marathon.
Hey Croaks, would you ever do 1K reps for the 10K, but not look at your splits until afterwards? You know what I mean? Wait for the beep and then just look down after 20 seconds after it's cleared from your watch face. And then, because I'm only asking this because that's why I like that Moose Fartlek, because we're just programming in our watches and we just, like, you're always looking at a stopwatch face, how long you got left, and not knowing the pace. Yeah. I like if you're going to do a workout like this, do it without seeing your pace.
I still look at my pace, but I just can't get myself to race 1K reps in training.
I'll talk to you off air. I've done it plenty of times. Give us some tips.
You're talking to me, Spenny.
Yeah.
Moose, what about, give us one for your marathon. You're the man. You like, I bet you'll, I think what you'll say here is those like 90, 95% marathon pace workouts.
Yeah, so I think the key here is you have to have done enough marathon build-ups and the same workout through those build-ups to actually gauge how that fitness relates to actual racing, because it's like you can do a workout where let's give you an example of 8x1K at 10K pace, right? Say I give that to an athlete and they go and run what they consider 10K pace and they do 8x1K and they run it in 3 minutes. They're going to go, oh, well, I'm in 30 minute shape. But one time they might do that and run 30 minutes. The next time they might run 8x1K in 3:02 and run 29:40. So it's just very different. You have to have enough build-ups to work out exactly what certain paces feel like. And there's too many variables to actually be able to use that credibly. So if you go down the track and run 8x1K and it's 35 degrees, then that's not going to be an accurate predictor of what your 10K pace will be. Or if you're coming off like a 100-mile week and doing it, it won't be an accurate predictor. I just don't think there are predictor workouts. Like, I just don't, like, I'm pretty strong in believing against them, because every time there's going to be some sort of difference in your workout that will be different to what it will be like on race day.
Hey, and Moose.
Yeah.
Awesome point. Do you know what biggest race predictors is, regardless of the distance, is Strava and looking at the skyscrapers. If I've basically strung together 20 odd weeks of skyscrapers at decent mileage for you know, wherever the athlete is, or where I think's a good mileage, I know I'll race well, because I've put in the work and I've been consistent over a period of time, as opposed to what you're saying there with individual sessions.
There's got to be some quality in there as well though, Brad. You can't just go jog 130Ks for 20 weeks and get some good blue skyscrapers.
But how often?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
You don't do that.
Consistency is king.
If you're training properly, your week's made up of a long run, couple of sessions, and recovery runs. And if you've done that for 20 weeks and haven't missed anything and you're not injured, then you're generally going to run pretty well.
Couldn't agree more. Don't worry about the one super session or the one workout that's going to tell you what shape you're in. Do 20 weeks of two sessions a week, one long run and a bit of jogging in between, and get to an amount of Ks that you can sustain.
And don't leave it out there in training.
Yeah. So I guess to answer the question, I can tell because a lot of my workouts are similar, but there's progressions on them throughout a program. So I've done periods of training where I'll start with like a 26K tempo, and then at that 95% of what I think my race pace might be, and then might go to 30K and then 34K. And so by the end, like, I've got a pretty good idea of what I can handle, but I still don't really use it as a predictor or anything. But for me, oh God, nah, I'm not. I feel like it would be wrong to go through that entire discussion and then say a workout.
Here's another one. I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. For me, feeling good and strong at the end of long runs, I find when I'm not fit, long runs become a real grind. You get through them, but then all of a sudden something clicks where you get to like 15, 10 minutes or 10 minutes to go in a long run, and you're like, man, I could run all day. To me, that's a sign that I'm fit and ready to go. Like, you know, regardless of what sessions I've done, it shows that you're strong and you're on top of your training. You guys agree?
Yeah, that is a big one for me. Feeling good at the end of long runs and kicking them down, that is a huge one.
But it's just got rolling, not actually kicking it down, when you just can roll some fours or some 355s.
Just naturally get rolling.
But the only thing there is if the weather can be, like, I've been feeling like that the last couple of weeks, and then I felt that was the hardest long run I've done in the last 8 weeks, just because of the humidity impacted it, though, on the weekend. But you're saying, Brad, if you're fit enough, that won't impact it.
Yeah, and I would also argue that because you've had those interrupted weeks, your long runs are probably more of a grind now than what they would have been beforehand, regardless of the weather. I think if you're fit, obviously you're going to slow down in hot weather, but you still have this feeling of strength at the end of your long runs.
Yeah.
Another indicator.
Didn't you just try to wrap us up, Ben?
But another indicator is being really tired from a cumulative workload, but still being able to get workouts done, even if you don't feel great. That's a sign that you're fit.
How many of these, especially in a marathon block where you do like a meaty workout on the Sunday and then you're tired a bit on the Monday, Tuesday, and then even Wednesday, like, how am I going to do another workout? And then the fitness just shows. Like, you just rock up super tired, but then you're just rolling.
Yeah, that's absolutely a good, like, that's a sign. And you finish the work during the workout, you're like, this is garbage, I just need it to finish, I'll cut it short. No, I won't, I'll do a little bit more, I'll cut it short now, no, just one more K, one more rep. And then you finish and you're like, yeah, that was a pretty good workout, even though I felt shit, I still got it done.
I reckon that's often the case of you start and you feel rubbish because you just got so much crap in your legs, but as soon as you run it out, the last quarter of the session's actually pretty good.
Just fitness showing.
Just
fatigue. Right, good question.
Did we answer that?
No, didn't answer that at all.
No, I think we did. I think we basically said that avoid super sessions. Avoid going out to try and work out what shape you're in. Go and get yourself fit and then go and
race. Pretty mature answer, actually. Pretty mature answer and discussion. You got a moose on the loose, purchase of the week, Julian?
I didn't. So I've recently come into possession of something I purchased a while ago. I forgot that I had it. It was called Inside a Marathon, Scott Forble.
Oh, yeah.
With Ben Rosario, that book. It's quite good, actually. I really enjoyed it. I just finished it yesterday. So it's a good book. Talks about Scott Forble's quite a funny dude. Not really in videos I've watched of him. He doesn't seem that funny, but he's actually pretty funny in the book. He's got some good gags, and it's good to sort of get an insight into what a training program looks like for someone who does it for a living.
How'd you go with converting miles to Ks?
I'm pretty good at that because I spent a bit of time. A little bit of time.
Right. You got a tattoo on your leg, don't you? About that time over there.
Yeah. Got a conversion chart on my other leg. So I liked it. That was a purchase from a while ago, signed by Forbel and Rosario, my mate Chris picked it up at the New York Expo, New York Marathon Expo, I think, or Boston. No, New York. And so that was one. Moose on the Loose, oh, I've kind of simmered off after it now, but the amount of fucking posts on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, oh, just about like garbage that no one cares about. Oh, just a year in review, like seriously. I don't care how many Ks you ran. I actually don't. And or how far you, like, does anybody
careful, Moose? You're having a go at one of the hosts.
Yeah, I shared. I shared
this. You see his Instagram?
I shared it just on my story. I didn't do a big post talking about it. I just shared that thing that Strava spat out for me. People do care, Moose. Yeah, people write back. You put it in your Strava notes, you dickhead. It says, didn't you put how many Ks you done?
I wrote in a description this many Ks.
Yeah, isn't that the same thing?
Oh, I didn't do any of that.
Croaks is a real boy.
Oh, yeah. You get the win then, Brad, because you're the least vain of everybody.
I actually like saying that data. I like the way Strava like constructs it. I agree with you though. Like, I don't think we need to do like "This Is Your Life 2020" on social media. We've seen
how many of them were
65
there?
Dot points. Like, I just was like, ah, this is a cool photo of how many Ks I ran. I'm going to put it up there.
Do you know how many people wrote "See a 2020"? Bring on, let's do it, 2021.
I'm coming for you, 2021.
Oh, fucking hell. Someone needs to take their phone away.
I think I did do that with a picture of a beer.
Oh, God. Well,
there go all our patrons.
Ah, that's what I sign up for, a bit of honesty around here. Do you reflect quietly to yourself, Julian, and like write down a journal entry or something? Do you think reflection's important or setting goals?
It's irrelevant. It's just a year, right? Does it matter? Like, what's the difference between, why would I start something on the 1st of January because it's on some sort of calendar? If I want to change something in my life, I change it on the spot when I decide to change it. I don't go, oh, no, it's all right. It's important. It's really important I change it, but not important enough that I will wait until some arbitrary number comes up on a calendar. No.
And then the first of January rolls around and your GPS goes crazy and it says you're running 6 minute Ks instead of 4:30.
Oh, yeah. Climbing 200 meters. My New Year's resolution, fellas, because I know you'll love this.
Didn't you just say you don't set one?
Yeah, I know. I'm having a gag.
Oh, okay.
Pressing stop on my stopwatch and forgetting to restart it because I can't handle doing a manual 2 kilometer upload ever again. But, you know, I needed that to get to 100 miles. And I actually ran it. It wasn't just me taking the piss. Mm. So I needed to see it.
All right, good Moose on the Loose. I enjoyed that. anything else we've got to talk about? What's coming up? You got anything, fellas?
Oh, just this Stromlo 5K on Saturday night. So we were both going to run it, Brady, but now neither of us are. But it will be streamed live on the Athletics ACT Facebook page. So it's going to be 5 1K loops around the Criterium track at Stromlo. They've put some prize money up. So there's like 500 for first, 200 for second, 100 for third. In terms of the start list, you got Callum McCluskey, who is a triathlete, young fella, beat James Nipris at the ACT Cross Country Champs last year. He ran like 30:20 at Stromlo, which is a great run. You've got the likes that they're not on the start list yet, but we believe Jai Edwards, Josh Johnson, Mike Rogue will be running, potentially Keely Small, Leanne Pompiani will be having a run. Who else on the start list? Hugh Williams.
Paddy Stowe,
yep.
Oh, yeah, because he's Aubrey, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So they're probably your favourites.
If he's in Aubrey, he won't be able to come. Oh yeah, this could be complicated. Because if he can go, I should be able to go.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
That's the thing. If you're going from Aubrey, because Aubrey's New South Wales, Moama's New South Wales, they said you can't leave the border bubble, but you should be able to leave the border bubble to go to ACT and then come back into the border bubble. Like, there's no risk in ACT. But they're saying you can't leave the border bubble.
I don't know, mate. Didn't I send you some fucking...
Who knows? And maybe they entered. Maybe he entered before all this happened, so maybe he won't be doing it anymore. But yeah, anybody that's in Canberra, they're going to have a DJ. They've got bespoke beers on tap at the bar, so it should be a good night. So yeah, that's coming up in Canberra this weekend, Saturday night. That is, I think the men's race is at the elite race. It'll be mixed about 8:15 or 8 o'clock. On Saturday the 9th of Jan.
Then the week after that, Friday night, that's a Bendigo 5K, anyone in Victoria. They got the elite field. They just need to get some people to fill the different graded races down there. Marquee set up in the home straight, live band, food trucks, Big Moose headline, and the 5K will be signed autographs after that. Ali Pashley headline and the women's 5K. Big, deep fields.
She'll be signing autographs.
Getting photos with people, you name it, she'll be there. Track records are going to go down. Get an entry in for that one, ladies and gents, if you're in Victoria. Doing big things for Bendigo Council down there. Need some people to rock up. Anything else, boys?
Looking forward to it.
I'm stoked you're coming, actually. Very grateful that you're coming to Bendigo for that race.
Of course. It sounds really good. All the fellas looked at the website and said, someone's doing a really good job with Bendigo Athletics website, because there's like news stories and stuff on there talking
Nigel
about...
Nigel Preston.
Is it? Yep. Yeah, well, he's doing a good job. Everyone said this is good stuff. And then they looked at the event and they're like, oh, it's going to be marquees through the finish line and everything. It's going to be
prize
cool.
money. I know the guy that organising it all. He just emailed the person that started putting on that 10,000 meter PBs over in England, and was just like, hey, like, what do we need to do? What do we need? What worked? What didn't work? And the guy was like super open to him. So we'll put the link in the show notes again. I think we did last week as well. We're done, fellas. Have a good week. Talk to you next Monday. Good luck little holiday, Brad. You're going away.
Yeah, on the weekend, head down to the coast for a few days.
See you, boys.
See you later. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me